Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We've got to believe what God has said. We've got to take His word to heart. That's the shield of faith. And when the enemy comes in blasting with both barrels, with all of the deception and, you know, all of the confusion and everything else, we've got to stand firm on what is declared in this book.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, in a message titled, Satan and the Christian. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
This is the work of the devil. And, you know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many in here can identify with what I'm saying, but multitudes of people go through this. This is, you know, I mean, we read the Bible. We, you know, like I said, 20 out of the 27 books of the New Testament reference the devil. We read about demons in the days of Jesus and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, here we are and we're going along and, you know, we don't see any demons and we're not having any encounters with things that we necessarily would automatically identify as satanic. But the reality is those creatures exist. And let me tell you, they're not sleeping. They're not resting. They're doing things. But here's the thing. We don't recognize that it's them that's at work. And so many things we relegate off to some, you know, it's some other thing. It's not that. And we tend to think in terms of psychology. And, oh, well, you know, that's a psychological disorder. And I recognize that there are... I'm not saying that every manifestation of any sort of psychological issue is satanic, but I'll tell you what, I think in every one of those cases, the devil's got his finger in there somewhere. He messes with the mind. But on this idea of consigning thoughts, I want you to think with me about the younger generation in particular, but it's not limited to the younger generation. But today in our youth culture, there are so many that are battling with eating disorders, people that are battling with tendencies toward mutilation, people that are battling with homosexual attractions, people that are battling with suicidal thoughts. The missing component in most perspectives on these things or attempts to understand these things, the missing component is the activity of the devil. He's the one. He's the one who's coming with those accusing thoughts. He's the one who starts to speak into the minds of these young girls and tell them that they're overweight and they're never going to be accepted. And they're never going to find love if they don't stay thin. And so they start to mess with their diets and they start to starve themselves. And in all of these cases, and I've personally dealt with a number of them over the years, in every one of these cases, the story is very similar in that every one of them had these oppressive thoughts that are suggesting to them that if they don't do this, then these are going to be the consequences, and the consequences aren't pleasant. So, you know, now, of course, the psychologist would come along and say, well, this is because of this thing or that. But, you know, all they have are theories. And if we want to just chalk it up to theories, I think our theories are better than theirs. They can't prove it. They don't know what the root source of this is. To me, I find it very hard to believe that you could, against your will, because you hate it, You don't want these suggestions or thoughts or accusations. I find it very hard to believe that against your will, against everything that you desire, that you would be the one doing this to yourself. I find that hard to believe. I find it easier to believe that there would be demonic forces at work. Now, of course, generally speaking, when you look at the realm of psychology or psychiatry, they don't consider the spiritual realm as even a factor. It doesn't exist in their thinking. But we can't make that same mistake. And so what's true with the young girls with the eating disorders is also true with the young people who are into self-mutilation. It's the same thing is happening. Tormenting thoughts, self-hatred, these kinds of things that are, in a sense, driving these kids in these directions. And the same thing is true to a large degree with the homosexual types of things. I mean, the most common thing that you will hear from a gay person is they didn't choose to be this way. They don't want to be this way. That's very common. And what I believe that many have failed to recognize is that there has been a relentless effort on the part of the devil to beat them down mentally and to bring them to the point of just accepting this. This is who you are. This is what you are. There's no escaping it. Just embrace it. And it doesn't only happen in the mind, because the devil will follow up on that, and he will often then bring a person along who will suggest the same things. There's no question in my mind, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever, that this proliferation of homosexuality in our culture has at the root of it something very satanic. This is a spiritual thing. And because it's a spiritual thing, we've got to, if we're going to see any progress or, you know, hope or transformation of lives, we have to deal with it on that level. And suicide is exactly the same thing. When you talk to people that are suicidal, you hear the same thing over and over again. It's a relentless, tormenting, accusing thing that's going on in their heads that's driving them in the direction of suicide. That's what's happening. So again, I personally think the best explanation for these things is the work of Satan, because he is a murderer. He came to rob and to kill and to destroy. And this is what he's doing by seeking to consign people to these life-dominating sins and these sins that destroy people's lives. So we've got to recognize this. We've got to recognize this in order to be protected ourselves, and we've got to recognize it so we can help other people. So we can say to them, no, listen, this is what's going on. That isn't true. You see, all of these things are lies, right? Satan is the father of lies. As Jesus said, he can't speak the truth. It's not possible. There's no truth in him. So everything he does is a lie. And everything he suggests in some way, shape, or form is a lie meant to ultimately destroy. But we've got to be aware of it. We've got to realize it. So these condemning thoughts, these consigning thoughts, this is his work. And it's very prevalent in our experience today. So what do we do?
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Well, the Bible tells us that God has given us certain weapons. And Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in the 10th chapter of the second epistle, he said this. He said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or merely human, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down or demolishing arguments, and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." See, what are all of these things that we just talked about doing? They're exalting themselves against the truth of God and against the knowledge of God. How do we combat that? He says that we have to combat it with the weapons that God has given us. And they're not material weapons. They're not merely human. They're not philosophical arguments even. It's the truth of God's word applied to the heart by the Spirit. That's what casts down the imaginations. That's what destroys those demonic arguments. That's what will set a person free. And so, how do we combat the enemy then? Well, specifically, there are three weapons that we'll consider. And weapon number one is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. It starts right there. We've got to believe God. We've got to believe what God has said about reality versus what man says about it. Because they're totally opposite things, aren't they? And boy, today it's just, you know, as I'm saying, and as you know, it's becoming more and more and more blatant. Man is rising up in opposition to what God has declared, and he's putting forth his philosophies and his perspectives. And a lot of people are falling prey to those ideas because they're not putting their faith in the Word of God. We have got to put our faith in the Word of God. We've got to believe what God has said. We've got to take His Word to heart. That's the shield of faith. And when the enemy comes in blasting with both barrels, with all of the deception and, you know, all of the confusion and everything else, we've got to stand firm on what is declared in this book. And there are already many that have fallen. There are already many that are capitulating. And the only way to stand, the only way to survive, the only way to advance or move forward is we've got to have a firm grip on the shield of faith. We must believe that God is at work in the world today. We must believe that He is working in our own lives, and it's only by faith that we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan can be very persuasive, and he can come with very powerful, oppressive thoughts, and we have got to have the shield of faith to quench those flaming arrows of the wicked. So when the enemy throws these things my way, it's that shield of faith that's going to extinguish them. So we've got to have a firm grip on the shield of faith. And secondly, we must wield the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the idea here is it is the Word of God specifically applied to a particular situation. And that's the idea. And what that really is communicating to us is our need to know the Word in a very detailed manner. We need to know it well enough to be able to do what Paul told Timothy to do, to be able to rightly divide it, to be able to apply it to particular situations that will arise. And so, you know, when we continually encourage you to read your Bible, study your Bible, meditate on the Word, get to know it. That's your defense. That's your weapon against the enemy. That's what's going to give you the ability not only to stand ground, but to take ground when necessary. So we've got to take the sword of the Spirit. We've got to immerse ourselves in it, and then we need to learn to wield it. And as we come up against these different things, we apply the Scriptures. I was talking to a friend today, and we were talking about counseling, and he said, you know, how he's come to enjoy counseling over the past several years, where, you know, previously in ministry he, you know, preferred more just to teach. But he said he's learned to enjoy it and see the value of it and the impact of it. And he said, and I agreed, you know, most counseling is listening. You listen and listen and listen and listen, and then you apply the Word of God to the situation. But you know, we have to have specific things when it comes to our application. We have to have a thorough knowledge of the Scripture so we know what to apply to that type of thing. So when a person comes with this condemnation, or when a person comes with these consigning thoughts, or when a person's overwhelmed with anxiety or something like that, we're able to take them to the appropriate text and just speak, this is God's word to you. And this is the thing that will deliver them. This is the thing that will set them free. This is the thing that will enable them to rise up out of that bondage and that torment and move forward in their relationship with Christ. And then thirdly, we must pray. We must pray. Jesus told us that certain satanic strongholds can only be broken by prayer. I think if there was one thing that we as a church, that the church in general, if there's one thing that we need to get firmly fixed in our minds, is that unless we pray, we will continue to be pushed backward. We've got to pray. Jesus said there are certain powers, certain spirits that are so strong that they can't be broken except through prayer, intense prayer. And he included in that fasting, which is a way of, you know, just sort of speaking of a more intense version of prayer. And we have other examples in the Scripture. I think the best illustration of this is the situation in the 10th chapter of Daniel. We read there about, you know, Daniel setting his heart to pray. He's seeking the Lord, and he's asking God about the future of his people, and he's praying, and he's fasting, and he's laboring, and it's a period of 3 full weeks. And at the end of that period, the Lord's messenger appears to him and begins to encourage him. But he says this to him, from the day that you set your heart to seek the Lord, I was sent to come to you, but the prince of Persia resisted me. Now, this is fascinating. What that angelic messenger is telling us is that there is a battle going on in the invisible realm. And when we start to pray, God moves to answer, but the devil opposes. And the messenger tells Daniel that this, you know, from the moment you started to pray, I was sent, but he was held up by the prince of Persia, by this spirit, until he received assistance from Michael, who came to aid him and free him up to go and then give that word to Daniel. This is what's really going on. This is what's happening behind the scenes. And we have got to get a clear understanding that the primary thing that we're dealing with is spiritual. And everything else is it's secondary, and it's contingent on what happens in the spiritual realm. So you see, if I'm just trying to fight all of these things on the human level, I might, you know, gain a little bit of ground here and there in certain ways, but in the end, I'm never going to be able to see a full breakthrough or deliverance come, because that spiritual thing has to be dealt with. It's not that we don't do other things, but we must pray not only first, we must continue to pray. And quite often when we pray, God shows us how to take action, doesn't he? But it's action that's based not on just, you know, my assessment of the situation, but it's action that's based upon God's understanding of the thing and God's direction. And as we move forward, empowered by prayer and seeking the Lord, this is when we're going to see progress made. This is when we're going to see that there will be advances gained for the kingdom of God. And so whether it be for us collectively as God's people, his church, or for each one of us personally, individually, the same thing applies. We have an adversary. And he is going about seeking whom he may devour. We are called to resist him. To resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him with the shield of faith. Resist him with the sword of the Spirit. Resist him in prayer. And God's promise is that at the appointed time, he will crush Satan under our feet. There can still be many victories ahead. God is not finished with this world. And all of those that are bound and held captive by the devil tonight, those are people that Jesus died for. Those are people that God wants to liberate from that captivity. And he wants to use us to do that. He wants us to be a part of this great mission of delivering people. So we ourselves have got to understand what the real issues are. We've got to make sure that we are firmly fixed in the truth, and then we can advance. Then we can move forward. So may the Lord help us to see the world through the proper lens of Scripture, to see that it's not what it appears to be, but there are other factors, and those factors are exactly revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. So exercise yourself in spiritual warfare to engage and to use those mighty weapons that God has given us, and particularly the weapon of prayer.
For the month of May, Back to Basics Radio is offering a DVD collection titled Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. This DVD studies the richness of the Hebrew culture and homeland, from their feast to their covenants with God, from the Ark of the Covenant to the Temple Mount, from the wilderness to the Promised Land, as Chuck Smith tours 14 different locations in Israel. You'll be fascinated as Pastor Chuck tours the ancient city of Joppa, Caesarea, the Sea of Galilee, Bethlehem, and the sites surrounding Jerusalem, such as the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Temple Steps, the Upper Room, and the Garden Tomb. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443. or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this DVD set, Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Israel on Location with Chuck Smith DVD set as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.